When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
That's great intro music right there. Really gets you pumped up. I don't know where Carlin and Joe are. I think Joe is vacationing in beautiful Connecticut, probably as he tries to get settled. Carlin's probably sitting on a beach, some island. Can't you just see him with the mirror on his chest on a beach? Sunny
with
weather.
Fruity umbrella drink.
He's Mike Wells. I'm Jordan Ronan. You're listening to Carlin vs. Joe. And we're talking here about the MVP race, right? And Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is now the favorite. You could tell us in a little bit. We're talking about the Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, they're one of the contenders you're not worried about. But we're all taking your calls on the Dr. Pepper call in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Which Super Bowl contender are we most concerned about? Now, clearly, it's not Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Because when you talk about the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson, things are going pretty well, Mike. I would say his decision to be his own agent, right,
He's a genius for that.
By the way, you mentioned 8 to 10%. There's no agent taking 8 to 10% these days. These dudes are taking 2 and 3%.
Ooh,
player agents. Now, okay. Media agents is a different story. They're taking 8 to 10%. The player agents, though, man, some of these guys they're doing 1, 2, 3%.
So listen, every
still,
penny
that's
counts.
A lot of money on $100 million.
Say you don't sell plenty off of that one.
Lamar Jackson, you got to look at that and say, it's working out pretty well for him.
Easily. I mean, everything has worked out perfectly, quite honestly, on how Lamar Jackson tackled it. I mean, it probably took a little longer than he wanted to, and he dealt with some criticism because as things were at a standstill on negotiating or trying to work out a deal, people were saying, well, if Lamar would have had an agent, everything, this might have helped out. There may not be no animosity toward the Ravens or whatnot. Hey, patience. Patience. Yeah. What was Aaron Rodgers? Relax.
Relax.
Hey, that's basically what Lamar Jackson said. Relax. It got taken care of. He got his money. He's not giving the 1 or 2% as Jordan alluded to an agent. And the Baltimore Ravens are winning. So that's called blackjack in my eyes, Jordan.
You know what he did in retrospect as we sit here and Lamar Jackson is now the MVP favorite. The Ravens are the second favorite to win the Super Bowl. He's the favorite to win the MVP at the moment. There was a right amount of push and pull, right? He demanded a trade behind the scenes, but he didn't do it publicly. So it was kind of like a mysterious nature to it. He pushed the Ravens just hard enough where he didn't alienate the team. He didn't alienate the fans. And the team did the same thing. So they walked that very fine balance. And I think that's key to how we've gotten to this point with the Ravens, who are now, by the way, 6-1 against teams with a winning record this season. And Lamar Jackson, here's what he did yesterday, which was very impressive. He went 10-12, 132 yards and one touchdown while under pressure. Right? You're not in the NFL, you're not supposed to be doing damage when you're under pressure. That's when Lamar Jackson did his damage. So I don't know. Things are working out really well for Lamar. Let's go for a second to the call-in line. We're going to talk about the MVP race because Lamar is the favorite. You got Lamar at this point, right, Mike?
Yeah. Yes.
Who's second in your mind? I know you were rooting for the Tyreek angle.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I mean, listen, Jeff Saturday.
He needs some big stuff to come and happen.
He's got to average basically 100 yards, 180 yards receiving over the final 2 weeks of the season in order to get 2,000 yards. I'm in the belief with you that Christian McCaffrey deserves it more over Brock Purdy in this situation. And listen, Purdy really hurt himself last night by throwing the four interceptions.
Yeah.
So he picked the wrong time to sit here and have four picks. So, I mean, you think about it, there's a couple things that we're really looking at. The front runner for the MVP, mm-hmm. and which Super Bowl contending team is most concerning to you in your eyes.
Yeah. Well, let's go to Eric in Miami. Let's see what he has to say about the MVP.
Hi, Eric, guys. What's up, man? How are you? I'm glad to be on. Just picking up what you just said, remember that the Dolphins play at the Ravens this week. If Tyreek mm-hmm. Hill has a 150-yard, two-touchdown performance, and the Dolphins beat Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, then all of a sudden that minus 200 on Lamar Jackson being the favorite to win the MVP flips to Tyreek. Because then he's only about 130 or 40 yards away from breaking 2,000 the next game against the Bills, which could be a very meaningful game. So you've got a whole bunch of things in the balance in the next two games. So before we all start saying Lamar Jackson's the favorite and he's going to win it, look what happened last night. Did anybody ever think that the 49ers would be blown out? Purdy would throw four interceptions? No, it's unpredictable. So my order is Tyreek Hill, because I believe Tyreek Hill will perform well without Waddle, even though they're going to roll their coverages. If they don't have their safety, Baltimore, who got hurt yesterday,
Kyle Hamilton,
this great
yep.
Hamilton guy, that makes it even more difficult, right? So now you've got Tyreek on. Remember, McDaniel, his MO is to structure his plays and his schemes around the people that he has. He doesn't ever worry about the people he doesn't have, because he's such an ingenious, creative, offensive guru that he puts his available players in position to beat the defense. Now, having said that, the teams that I'm most concerned about for a Super Bowl would have to come down to the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC and the mm-hmm. Dolphins in the AFC. Because if the Dolphins lose to Baltimore, there's a chance that they could lose to Buffalo and not win the division. So then that puts Buffalo right. as the division winner. So, the Eagles, on the other hand, nobody thinks the Eagles are going to go into San Francisco and beat San Francisco, right?
Right.
So, you know, you've got to be most concerned about them. The 49ers have to be considered the front runner in the NFC.
Yeah. So here's the thing. When you were talking about the MVP, this is why, yes, I agree with you. If Tyreek has those two games and they win those two games, he's going to be right there. It's probably going to flip. The problem is, Mike, those are huge ifs, right? And that's the whole thing. That's why he said you're worried about them as a contender, because they have a tough game against Baltimore coming up and then a tough game against the Bills. So you kind of can't have it both ways. That's the problem when you talk about Tyreek and the MVP, is there's a good chance they don't win both of those games. And on top of that, he needs to have monster games in both of those games. Now, if it does happen, I think we're all on board that Tyreek is probably going to be either the front runner or right up there.
I mean, he can steal the MVP if they're able to beat the Ravens this weekend and then also beat the Buffalo Bills. Because in order for that to happen, for those two things, for them to get those two wins, he has to go crazy. And yeah. What better opportunity to do it than against two playoff teams? So, these are like MVP campaigns coming up for Tyreek over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Let's see what David in New York has to say. David, what's going on, man? Happy holidays.
Hey, happy holidays to you guys. I want to say I think Dak Prescott could possibly win MVP if he takes the Cowboys deep into the playoffs. And I'm a Dallas fan. I'm a diehard Dallas fan. Okay. I'm a little bit concerned about us going into the playoffs, because we can't seem to win on the road. But we did look better against Miami. We almost had a chance to win, but we still lost. So we have trouble on the road. So if we have to go on the road, that's where I'm a little bit concerned about. But other than that, I think we're right up there still in the top five as a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with the Cowboys, is can they win on the road? And do you have confidence in them winning on the road? I think the questions about Dak are kind of silly at this point. When I was watching that game, I don't know what you thought, Mike, the other day. I'm watching that game on Christmas Eve, and Dak's making plays late in that game. There was that one play where the dude was draped all over him, and he still made that. He is tough. Dak Prescott is one tough quarterback, man. That's kind of what stood out to me. So I'm not – this idea they can't win on the road, I'm not so sure I fully buy into it.
I think the questions about Dak and the inability to win big games, I think it needs to stop. And listen, I think Jerry Jones loves the microphone in front of him. But when he made the comments earlier in the season about Dak and people need to stop questioning, I think he's right. I agree with Jerry on that. Get off of Dak's back, because he's just going to shake you off and come up big once again. This is not Dak Prescott of last year, late in the season, where he was throwing interceptions left and right. Yeah. He's coming out.
That was an outlier, by the way.
Yeah,
he never had done that in his career except for last year.
He's producing now, so I don't have any concern about whether Dak's going to be able to perform or not. Now, I'm still wondering if the Cowboys can win, but if they lose, I'm not going to say it's going to be Dak's fault in the playoffs.
Yeah. I have a bigger concern of their defense, and I know their defense is a great front runner defense. Is when they get ahead and they can just rush the passer, they're great. But can they stop the run and hold up long term in the playoffs? They haven't always been able to do that. We're going to talk more than just the Cowboys and the Super Bowl contenders. Only one show covers every game in the NFL, and it's this one. We've got you covered with the NFL Takeoff next on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Enough is enough!
Is headed down the runway and ready for the NFL Takeoff.
Welcome back. Listen to Carlin vs. Joe. He's Mike Wells. I'm Jordan Ronan. Carlin vs. Joe is presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's start the takeaway here.
Bengals at Steelers.
Mike, Steelers went and blew up on offense finally. Beat up the Bengals 34-11.
Finally, Jordan. I'm saying the Steelers do have an offense. I mean, we've been waiting all season for it. A season high in points, and they did it with their backup quarterback. Kenny Pickett, take your time coming back from your injury, please.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of saw this coming. Steelers at home, ticked off. Bengals team that kind of seemed to have the horseshoe up their butt the last few weeks. It was coming to an end, but didn't see Mason Rudolph doing that. The Bills
at Chargers.
Oh, yeah. There we go. The Bills at Chargers. I'm supposed to say the score. Bills 24, Chargers 22. Barely the Bills escape. Mike Wells?
Listen. Watch out for Josh Allen and the Bills in the playoffs. Three straight victories. Two of those victories against teams that will likely be in the playoffs, Kansas City and Dallas. Don't sleep on Josh Allen and Buffalo. They're a team you don't want to face come the postseason.
They're still just kind of sputtering around. I'm also scared you know what of the Buffalo Bills. I would not. The Kansas City Chiefs have to be just dying not to see them in the first round of the playoffs. Like, that's the last thing the Chiefs want, is to see the Bills in the first round of the playoffs. That would be the disaster scenario for them. So the Bills are in good shape. Have a chance, if the Dolphins lose this week to the Ravens, to potentially win the division in Week 18.
Cowboys at Dolphins.
Dolphins 22, Cowboys 20. Christmas Eve game. This was a good one, Mike Wells.
Listen, it lived up to the complete hype. Don't get worried about Dallas because they didn't win on the road. Miami had one hell of a drive, final drive, to put themselves in position to get the winning field goal and win the game. More props for Miami than more hatred for the Cowboys.
What you take away from this game is that the Miami Dolphins defense has continuously improved. It's getting better and better each week. And at this point, they're a serious contender.
Lions at Vikings.
Lions 30, Vikings 24. Let the confetti loose, Mike.
Man, the Lions do know how to win the NFC North. Thank you for leaving Aaron Rodgers and leaving that division. Dan Campbell's going to win NFL Head Coach of the Year. He deserves it. But I'm so happy for Jared Goff. The L.A. Rams passed him off to get Matthew Stafford. All Goff has done, he's on pace to have a career high in completion percentage. It's great to see him get to the playoffs. I'm very happy for Jared Goff.
Yeah, you know who I'm happy for? The Detroit Lion fans. A lifetime of misery. They haven't won the division in forever. Like, good for the Lions. This is a team that has done it step by step the last few years. They've been moving in the right direction. Amon-Ra St. Brown, absolute stud. Jared Goff has played good football. Offensive line for the Lions is the biggest thing they have going for them. It kind of flies under the radar. They're able to run the ball and protect the quarterback. Their offensive line is among the best in the NFL.
Browns at Texans.
Browns 36, that's right. Joe Flacco led Browns put up 36. Beat the Texans 36-22. The Cleveland Browns are kind of rolling with Joe Flacco.
Listen, rolling is an understatement, Jordan. The Cleveland Browns have the third best record in the AFC. That is incredible while using four different quarterbacks. I'm not saying the Browns aren't going to be a team to be a threat in the playoffs, but what they've done without Deshaun Watson, Kevin Stefanski deserves some votes for head coach, for coach of the year, because they've done a great job led by that defense with Myles Garrett.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Kevin Stefanski has done a great job. You know who else did a great job? Amari Cooper! He went absolutely wild in that game. Dude is just a good player. 11 catches, 265 yards, and two touchdowns. Amari Cooper Joe Flacco, just step back, use that big arm, throw it up there, let Amari Cooper go, and catch the ball. And how about this, Mike? If you're playing fantasy, and you're in like the semifinals this week, you had absolutely no chance if you were going against Amari Cooper. In the early window, he just absolutely bludgeoned your playoff hopes. I know some people, they were showing me on as we were sitting there at Christmas Eve, he's like, I went against Amari Cooper today, and I have absolutely no shot to win. Dude put up like a 50 ball in fantasy.
Commanders at Jets.
The Jets tried their hardest to blow this game, but they won 30-28. The Jets are rolling, Mike.
I got to tell you right now, boy, Robert Saleh, the head coach, and the general manager, Joe Douglas, they better not blown that game, because that came just hours after owner Woody Johnson said they're basically going to get a mulligan because of the Aaron Rodgers injury. Had they blown that game against the Commanders, who are just a bad, bad, bad football team, it would have been a bad look for Saleh and also Douglas.
Yeah, you're right. That was, I mean, they tried their hardest. I actually stopped watching. You're watching Red Zone when you're home, and it's 28-0, right? Or 20-0? 20-0. Evan, what was it? Yeah, jump in here. What was the score of that Jet game? How much were they winning by?
I think it was like 27-7 or something. It was not close. I was in the middle of Christmas activities. So
next thing you know, the Jets are losing. I thought for sure they were going to miss the kick at the end. That would have been complete, you know, Jets kind of move right there at the end.
Seahawks at Titans.
Actually, a very big win here by the Seattle Seahawks. They escape in Tennessee, 20-17. Last week, it was Drew Lock leading the game-winning drive. This week, Geno Smith.
I got to tell you, Jordan, I'm more interested in the Titans in this situation because Derrick Henry could be the next running back where you're showing that you can just have anybody back at running back. His time with the Tennessee Titans, the clock is ticking on him where Henry may be playing elsewhere next season. He did throw a touchdown pass, so props to Derrick in that situation. But it just seems like the whole running back thing, as you know firsthand with Saquon Barkley, is they're not as valuable as they once were.
God, the running back market this offseason is going to be wild. Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Austin Eckler. I mean, just J.K. Dobbins. Just line them all up. Who knows what's going to happen there? Nobody wants to pay any of them. But big win by the Seahawks. Actually, they are now in pretty good shape to win one of those wild card spots in the NFC. And courtesy of two really good comeback victories. A win's a win.
Ravens at 49ers.
Absolute butt-kicking. Ravens 33, 49ers 19. By the way, that game was played in Santa Clara, 49ers at home. Pretty surprising result.
Hey, Lamar Jackson was great, but this is all about the defense for the Baltimore Ravens. I love the way that Kyle Hamilton played. I mean, two interceptions out there, got a chop block, got up and still got the pick. I love that the Ravens defense, they basically humbled with a capital H, 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy on Monday Night Football.
Still the two number one seeds in each conference. I don't think anybody, and I'll be honest, I didn't expect the Ravens to go in and do that. So that was a little surprising. Got to take them seriously. They are now, right on the radar for potential Super Bowl winners.
Jaguars at Buccaneers.
Bucks 30, Jaguars 12. This was 30-0 at one point. The Jags, man, come on. Get your act together.
What was the saying by the late Dennis Green? They are who we thought they were. That's what the Jacksonville Jaguars are. I know you were out there sipping that ocean blue Kool-Aid of the Jaguars, but I had no faith from the get-go that they were going to take another step with Doug Peterson as head coach. Trevor Lawrence, he's out there all the time, but the Jaguars just simply are not a Super Bowl contending team.
I'll tell you what, I didn't know the Bucs and Baker Mayfield were this, though. This is a good little season for them. Todd Bowles, they put together a little something nice. And how about this? Mike Evans, dude is just super underrated. Another 13 touchdown catches, just keeps going and going and going and going. Just a model of consistency. You know what? Hall of Famer. Believe it. Carlin vs. Joe is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. Did one NFL coach save his job on Christmas Day? That's next. Carlin vs. Joe, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
If you want to crown them, then crown them.
This is the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Second and goal from the 6. Three receivers spread to the left. Lamar takes the snap in the shotgun. Steps up, pocket collapsing. Now he runs to the left, extending, fires end zone. Touchdown, Nelson Aguilar! And the Ravens extend their lead.
That was from the Ravens' victory over the 49ers, courtesy of WBAL 1090. You're listening to Carlin vs. Joe. He's Mike Wells. I'm Jordan Ronan. Carlin vs. Joe is presented by Progressive Insurance. Carlin vs. Joe on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80 in your smart speakers by saying play ESPN Radio. Let's welcome in now our good friend, ESPN NFL insider, Dan Graziano. Dan, welcome. Happy holidays. Appreciate you giving us the time.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. You know, when Evan said it was you guys, you know, the first story that popped into my head.
Oh, boy.
Can we talk about the day Jordan hit a guy in the face with a tee shot?
Not going to be flattering on my end.
Yeah.
The guy's still walking, though. And he's still, to this day, he probably still has the little circles from the golf ball on his forehead. Yeah. And never mind that it was like two fairways over that Jordan hit him when we were playing that day.
Oh, stop it. It wasn't even a bad shot. It was just off the fairway.
It was nearly lethal. It was so bad. And what I keep always remembering is the guy's wife kept saying,
yes,
it's okay, it's not your fault. And I was thinking, whose fault is it? He hit the ball. Like, how is it not his fault? Like, it's 100%. Anyway, yeah, that was the story.
We did not yell for.
As I'm sure you guys imagine.
The guy literally had a welt on his head as we came up. He's 80-something years old, mind you, playing with his wife.
Ball must have bounced. Otherwise, you know, we would have had a real serious problem on our head.
Yes. Thank God it bounced, or I'd be in jail right now. Instead, We're gonna talk about the other. Yeah. Mike Wells, by the way, told me, he said that, you know, that story is going to probably come up multiple times. But when we were even before we knew you were on as a guest.
Yeah. First thing I thought of. But anyway.
Only natural. Well, we'll turn to football now because Christmas Day was a fun little day. It almost felt like Thanksgiving with the football on, three games. And the late game was the headliner. And we saw what Lamar Jackson did. And so now the talk is Lamar Jackson, MVP. Has only 19 touchdown passes, which is interesting. So I'm curious, how do you handicap the MVP race at this point?
I mean, it literally changes every single week. Like, we sit here and we talk about, oh, so-and-so is the new favorite. A couple weeks ago is Dak Prescott. Last week is Brock Purdy. Now it's Lamar Jackson. The Dolphins beat the Ravens on Sunday. Then it'll be Tua, right, or Tyreek Hill. Like, it's amazing how the odds have kind of fluctuated. And I think it speaks to a year where no one's really run away with the award. Oftentimes, by this point, we have a pretty clear picture of who the MVP is going to be, and this is not such a year. So right now, Lamar Jackson, quarterback on the team with the best record. Obviously, a quarterback on the team with the best record is always going to be a candidate for the award, and he's certainly worthy of it. But I don't know. I mean, this two more weeks, and the way it could shake out in a number of different ways, and you're right. I mean, 19 touchdown passes. Like, his passing numbers do not look like MVP passing numbers, which, by the way, they did in 2019 when he won it. I think it's a fascinating year. You can make a case for Christian McCaffrey. You can make a case for Tyreek Hill if he breaks that record. I don't think there's any clarity on that at all.
You're right, Brother Grass, because it has been changing. I mean, you look at Tyreek Hill. No wide receiver has ever won MVP. His next two games, this week against the Ravens, and then potentially how things shake out will be against Buffalo. So he would need to have a monster game, A, for the Dolphins to have a chance to win, and B, for them to, you know, potentially have a number one seed in the AFC. What are your thoughts on a wide receiver winning the MVP when you look at all the greats who never won it before?
Yeah, I think it would have to be a confluence of a number of things. One, the wide receiver in question would have to have an historic season, like 2,000 receiving yards, right? If he got to that, that would certainly qualify as exceptional. And then the other flip side of that is that there has to be a year where no clear quarterback candidate, you know, distances himself from the field. And I think we are seeing that. So it's set up. Now, unfortunately, he had to miss the one game due to injury, and that sets back his pursuit of the record. But I'm not putting anything past this guy. I think if you watch the Dolphins, it's clear the effect he has on the rest of that offense. And look, if you want to lean on the word valuable, which we often do in this discussion, then it's a quarterback award. There's nobody more valuable to their team than the quarterback. There's no position that has more responsibility. You can give the quarterback MVP every year, and it's hard to argue. But there are occasional cases where you kind of, you know, you want to kind of dig a little deeper. And what Tyreek Hill means to the Dolphins, I think is such a case. And when you watch them play with him, when you watch them play without him, I think it's not out of the question if he gets to that record that he would have a shot to be the first receiver to win it.
We saw yesterday in the early game the Chiefs, another offensive dud, right?
Yeah, we did.
But that's the thing. It's getting common. They're 3-5 in their last eight games. All five of those losses, they've scored under 20 points. How or what can they do now to address those issues? Like, is there any, like, what can they do to at least get themselves in position in the playoffs to be a real threat?
This is what they got, like, on offense. This is it. These are the receivers they've got. These are the tackles they've got. And this, you know, unless something happens, a light goes on, and these guys all start playing better, they're going to have to win with defense and Mahomes miracles. They can do that. The defense is playing great. Best it's played since Mahomes has been the starter, and Mahomes is always capable of the miracles. So, like, you know, if you're going to beat them, then I would suggest beating them and not letting them hang around in the fourth quarter, because you're not going to want to, you know, take the chance that Mahomes can get you. But as for what they can do, I mean, they can stop running goofy trick plays, right, where they snap it to the running back and try and hand it to the quarterback. Like that's cute when you're scoring 30 a game, but when you're struggling to get to 20, you know, I think it can be beneficial to kind of go back to the basics. Now, Isaiah Pacheco has been in and out with injury lately. If he were there consistently, I could see, oh, well, maybe they lean into the run and lean on him, because he looks like he's been a very good player for them really all year. But that, A, that's not Andy Reid's style, and B, I mean, it'd be a significant departure. Like, I think they've been trying to get this passing game clicking all year under the belief that it would, but here we are heading into Week 17, and it's very much not. So I think their best hope is to lean on that defense and tone things down on offense to the point where, you know, Mahomes can make just enough plays that they can win, as crazy as it sounds, some low-scoring games.
Last question before we let you go. Hang out with the family, Brother Grass. Has Antonio Pierce already done enough to remove the interim tag, or should people still be a little leery because, quite frankly, we're talking about the Raiders?
Right, right. And 2 years ago where they had an interim coach that they liked a lot and they replaced him with Josh McDaniels. So anything's possible. Now, we think Mark Davis maybe learned from that, and if they finish strong, I do think Antonio Pierce gets a fair shot here. Like, I think he'll be a candidate for the job. I don't know what Davis ends up doing. But what Pierce has shown is that players are going to play for him, right? Like, the players will play hard for him. He can get them motivated to play. You know, whatever they got going with their quarterback situation, their offense is a mess. Defense has been great. So the next thing, if you're Raiders ownership, the next thing you have to be sold on is, what's his long-term vision for the organization, and how do you implement it? And that's what Antonio Pierce has to sell Mark Davis on, beyond just, I know how to get guys playing hard, which is great, important, and vital, and he's proven it in a way that other candidates will not have had the chance to prove it to Mark Davis, which is firsthand. But I think, you know, there's more that goes into it, and I don't put it past AP to pull this off. I think he's got the hunger for it, and I think he has a knack for it. I think it'd be neat to see him get it, but I don't think it's a done deal by any stretch.
You never know when it comes to Mark Davis and the Raiders. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider, we appreciate your time. Have a happy holidays, Dan, and thanks for bringing up the golf story. I was
That was my
feel
pleasure.
Great when that happens.
Yeah.
I feel bad for that man, but his wife was the nicest lady. I honestly. Can't imagine anyone being nicer when their husband has a huge
stop trying to soften it up, because you are directionally challenged, Jordan. Okay, don't try to soften the story up by saying he had a sweet wife. You just
the
went
wife
far,
was amazing.
Far,
come
far
on,
enough.
The wife made the story. People have been hit in the head before. Yeah. That happens. No,
doesn't Brother happen. Grabs, be good, man.
It's never happened to you guys.
Take care, guys.
Never happened to you, Mike Wells.
No, I've never, and listen to me, I've missed my fair share of fairways. I own that. I've never hit anybody with a golf ball.
Because it was on a, hit the path, it was in a valley, it was a lower, we couldn't see, there's a lot of went into it.
There's no sympathy for that, but we still
Let's
love you.
Move
we still
on.
Love you.
There's one smart decision the Raiders can make, but it's the Raiders, so will they make it? That's next on ESPN Radio.
I always keep my head on the swivel.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back. You're listening to Carlin vs. Joe on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM channel 8 in your smart speakers by saying play ESPN Radio. I'm Jordan Ronan. He's Mike Wells. ESPN Radio has you covered for bowl game action. Tune in tonight for the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. You hear that Vegas music right there? I was there a couple weeks ago. They absolutely stepped on the Giants' throat. That's the game that Daniel Jones got injured. And, you know, several weeks later, they put up a dud. 0-0 game until against the Vikings, right? Until, like, what, the final minute or so?
Yeah.
And you're thinking at that point, the Raiders say they've kind of just cashed in their ticket. They're kind of done for the year. This team isn't really going anywhere. They got a rookie quarterback. Then guess what? The last few weeks, the Raiders are playing football. They beat the Chargers 63-21. They beat the Chiefs. And all of a sudden, you're looking at them, you're going, hey, you know what? They're 4-3 under Antonio Pierce. Maybe, Mark Davis learns a lesson. You got a guy who's well-respected. Players love him. Grew up a Raiders fan. You know, they're playing hard for him. Maybe, just maybe, Mark Davis doesn't do what he did several years back when he let Rich Bisaccia go, went for the hot name in Josh McDaniels. Maybe he just brings back Antonio Pierce. We know it's the move, right, Mike Wells?
Most logical. Yeah, that's the thing. This seems like, okay, the Raiders are finally playing some football. I mean, they're competing. You know, even in the 3-0 loss, I mean, that was just a bad offensive performance. I lost track how many times the Vikings and the Raiders combined to punt, but the defense did its part. They are playing with pride. I just felt like with Josh McDaniels, you know, going back to last season on how things, you know, panned out with Derek Carr and, you know, the stories that came out after he was fired by the Raiders, you would think, okay, they got somebody that the players finally respect and they believe in. But so often, it's called the Raider way for a reason. Because you never know which way it's going to go. You never know the way that Mark Davis, the owner, is going to think about things and say, hey, I need to get the hot shot. You think about the last two coaches. You had John Gruden and Josh McDaniels. Those are two offensive gurus. Is Mark Davis going to say, I'm going to stop worrying about, you know, trying to get that flash, trying to get the flashy Mercedes or the flashy Porsche, and just go with the blue-collar guy, a.k.a. a guy like Antonio Pierce, where the players are going to buy into what he wants. A guy who doesn't care about looking pretty. He just is going to put – he's going to put the Timberland boots on, some jeans, a hard hat, and bring the lunch pail to work every single day and do whatever it takes to win. I say yes, but I'm still also a little leery because there's always – you know how it is. Back in the day, when you're high school and college, you're like, you know what? I got me a fine girlfriend right now, but it's also there's probably another beautiful one out there. You try to upgrade, and it blows up in your face.
Love that analogy, great one. So, Antonio Pierce, though, here's the thing: you talk about the Raider way, you know, the Al Davis background, the line of thinking. Antonio Pierce actually epitomizes that, right? That's what he's all about. He was the captain of the Giants defense when he was with the Super Bowl winning Giants. He's the guy you went to talk to. He would bring energy. Like, he is what Al Davis would have loved. So it just makes so much sense. Let's hear from Antonio Pierce after that win over the Chiefs, what he said.
That was actually one of our mantras, by any means necessary. We knew it was going to be a gritty game. It was going to be a high scoring. We didn't want it to be a high scoring game. Hats off to our defense, Patrick Graham, and our defensive staff. Hats off to our players of executing, staying with it, being relentless. We talk about squeezing, finishing in the second quarter, finishing in the fourth quarter, and they did that.
He ain't kidding by any means necessary. The Raiders won despite Aiden O'Connell throwing for 62 yards. And what did I see? I think I saw he threw for, like, what was it, one completion in the final three quarters?
Yeah.
Like, so... they really did win by any means necessary, right? The Raiders just won because of their defense. They won in Kansas City against the Chiefs. That wasn't supposed to happen.
Listen, think about this, Jordan. Usually when a team beats Patrick Mahomes, the offense is going toe-to-toe. We've watched Joe Burrow go toe-to-toe against Patrick Mahomes and put up great numbers. Mm-hmm. We've watched Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills put up great numbers. We've watched Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles put up great numbers passing the ball. But to go down and do it the ugly way, where the offense was essentially non-existent from the passing game, and to get some big runs late in the game to keep Patrick Mahomes and that offense on the sideline by running the football, and the defense out there playing with so much arrogance and cockiness and saying, we ain't scared. That's how they were looking. That's how the Raiders were playing. Max Crosby was putting so much pressure on. The linebackers and the DBs were so disciplined. Because we've seen Patrick Mahomes play street football, where you're scrambling, and you're going to, you know, 10 Mississippi, and he finds a way at 9 Mississippi to make something happen. That was not – the Raiders were right there. And that's all about being disciplined and following the coaching that they're getting from a script standpoint.
I actually exaggerated. Aiden O'Connell did not have one reception – one completion over the final three quarters. He had zero over the final three quarters. Wow. After the first quarter, zero completions. All of his completions were on one drive in the first quarter. And they became the first team since 2000 to win – without completing a pass after the first quarter. So really just a fascinating result when you think about it. And boy, are the Kansas City Chiefs lucky that that division is a mess, right? Because the Chiefs are basically falling apart at the seams.
Mm-hmm.
They're 9-6 in every other division in the NFL, except for maybe the NFC South. They wouldn't be either. They would either be leading or, like, you know, somebody within reach. But the way the AFC West has unfolded this year, the Broncos are a middling team. The Chargers fell apart, and the Raiders fired their coach midseason. No one aside from the Chiefs is over 500. So it's kind of giving them a free walk in the park here. And they don't even have to worry. They're just like cruising along, even though they're stumbling. The Chiefs are 9-6 after a 6-1 start. So they're 3-5. In their last eight games. They're really lucky.
And 4-6 losses at home. So, hey, sell me on the Chiefs. Can you sell me on the Chiefs at all?
Okay. Here's the Chiefs. They have a defense that's playing really well this season. They have Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes. He's the best player in football. He's the best player in the NFL. When they need it, He's going to run around the field, make a couple miracle plays. What they really need to do, right? They're not really playing for anything the rest of the season, is take Travis Kelce, rest him, get him healthy, get him fresh. Because that is the guy. They just need it to be the Mahomes and Kelce show. And you doubting them, Mike Wells?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're doubting Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce?
Yeah, I am. Because at some point, somebody else has to make a play. And I have no faith in anybody else in their roster. So, complete doubt in the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, there's only one reason for this. There can only be one real logical explanation. You don't like Taylor Swift. That's it. You don't. Yeah. You're an anti-Swifty. Anti-Swifty. Who's the best team in the NBA right now? We're going to talk about that next. One expert says it's not even a question. That's next, ESPN Radio, ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.